guest today on Piano Jazz is Joanne Brachin, one of the most prized possessions in jazz. She's a virtuoso pianist and a master composer. Joanne really epitomizes the history of jazz from traditional to totally free and everything in between. I always remember that place. I can't remember the name. Was it the Mermaid Room?
Oh, the Surf Maid.
The Surf Maid. And somebody had told me, you must hear this fabulous piano player. And I went, and you were fabulous. That was a kind of a tiny little room in the village, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. It was cute. It was right across from the village gate. And I used to play there. I must have been there for 3 or 4 years.
Was that like your first professional gig?
No, not my first professional, but it was the first long-term job I'd ever had.
Alone?
Well, sometimes there were bass. I think I used to work usually with a bassist.
I know the night I went, you were alone.
Oh,
I
mm-hmm.
hung around there with my mouth open. And
it was a fun place.
Well, I'm dying to get into things with you, but I know that it would be really nice if you'd play something and then we'll talk more. How's that?
Okay, fine.
So what will you play?
I'm going to start out with Zapatos Españoles.
Started playing at a very early age. I remember reading someplace where you had a beautiful grand piano in your house, and you started playing on the piano. Maybe I think I read that you were about 9, something like that. But then suddenly the big grand piano vanished, and there was a little small upright there.
Yeah.
Why did they do that?
Well, I think it was a matter of furnishings. You know, we had one house that was a little bit bigger, so it had the grand piano. And that was when I was 6, and we should have had lessons then or something. But then we moved to a smaller house, so we got this little upright piano.
Well, it wasn't as good to play on as the grand piano.
No, it wasn't. And my sister remembers it too, but we don't know what happened or why.
Did you make a fuss?
No.
You just played it?
No, it was just exciting to learn how to play. I had some recordings of Frankie Carl.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I transcribed about 7 or 8 of his solos from the beginning to the end.
You transcribed? I mean, you taught yourself to transcribe, like to put down the notes?
Well, I took lessons, piano lessons, for maybe 2 or 3 months before the teacher gave up on me. But but I did learn where the notes, you know, the lines and the spaces and the, you know, the letters that went with them. So then I used that as a means to write down what I heard. I'm certain it wasn't perfect, but I put all the notes that were in there on the sheet of paper and memorized them and started actually working.
You were quite amazing. And as time went on, you just grew more amazing. And then when was your first professional job?
I think I was 11 years old.
Oh, we're going way back before.
Yes.
I was thinking of something you told me once about you went to hear Art Blakey and you didn't think the piano player was doing a good job. And
well,
you just stepped up and stepped in and elbowed he or she off the bandstand and played.
Well, it was a he, and it wasn't that he wasn't playing very well. He wasn't playing at all. And I had just come down six flights of stairs with four kids upstairs. It was like the end of a day, and I wanted to hear the piano. So I walked right, with even thinking, I was so tired, I just walked up on the stand and asked the piano player, could I play, since he wasn't playing, and it sounded like there should have been piano there.
What did Art say?
And then at the end of the tune, Art said he looked up and saw a different face and decided to hire me.
That's so interesting.
Pretty funny.
God, I remember going to sit in with Art. This was a place near Rochester. Chuck Mangione was with him. And he actually asked me to sit in, but I was playing, probably being rather nervous, quiet. And he hollered real loud, play! So I thought, boy, I'd better so, and then I got louder. So I'm sure he wasn't about to hire me, but I did have a ball sitting in. He was an unbelievable little man, wasn't he?
He really was.
Well, the fact that you were able to sit down and play with him, and he hired you, you must have sounded pretty darn good.
Well, I guess I did by that time. Of course, I had heard a lot of music right around the corner from where I lived, and that was where this scenario took place, at a club called Slugs in the East.
I remember Slugs.
Yes, in the East Village.
Boy, it was not the most beautiful room in the world, but it had such good jazz there.
It had great jazz.
I used to go there a lot.
Sawdust on the floor.
Yes.
It was right around the corner, about a two-minute walk
from
me. It
was around the corner from the other club, I'm trying to think, where Mingus and Monk played. Was pretty close by.
I think the Five Spot.
The Five Spot, yeah. Right, exactly. And you were the only woman to work with Art Blakey,
yes.
Were you not?
Yeah, that just kind of happened.
Well, it
I mean, there's many people following me now.
No, but you were the first one.
Yes.
In the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So much of so many people must have rubbed off on you and given you the extraordinary talent that you have.
I really think so. I was lucky, you know, to go from Art Blake to start out with that band and then go on into Joe Henderson and Stan Getz. It was really fantastic. I learned so much from each one.
There's so much music out there, and you're capturing a whole lot of it for yourself.
Yes.
It's great.
So exciting.
And you're going to play a solo, believe it or not. And this tune, I'm sure you're capturing something new about this tune. Body and Soul?
Right.
Are you going to play that?
I will.
I'm going to love it.
Okay.
I really ought to let the audience in on this little anecdote, which was that you called me up the other night late and said on my service, because I wasn't there, oh, I've written a tune for you, and this is it. And you played the tune over the phone on the tape, and I was just knocked out. No, you know, nobody's ever done a thing like that.
Well, I never did it either. It was funny. I was thinking... I had written songs in the last year or two for different people that I'd played with. And all of a sudden, I was cooking some soup, actually, and I laid down. I'm going to take a little rest because it's late. And this tune started writing itself in my head, you know, because I had the idea, but I thought, nah, I'm too busy. I don't have time for this now. And the thing just started writing itself as I was laying down there in my hammock. So I got up and went to the piano. However, I haven't had much time to really getting to know a new tune is like getting to know a new person. You want to interrogate it and look through it and so on. I haven't really had a chance to do that the way that I will do.
Well, but the way you did it on the phone, if it comes off half as good as that, it's going to be terrific.
Well, thank you.
Has it got a title, this thing?
Yes, it's called Marion's Castle.
I'm thrilled. Go ahead and do it. Let me hear it.
Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.org to find a station in your area. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, Baldwin Piano Company, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.